Welcome to Forgotten Word Ministries with Robert Wise. Today we're going to talk about, are your preachers of today real preachers of the gospel? Thank you for joining us. We do pray that the information we tell you about today will be a blessing to you. Now on with the program. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the difference between preachers today and we'll select the early Methodist circuit riders to use as an example or as a comparison. Let's start out a little bit here. This is, we've done various studies on religious denominations and have brought me many hours of enjoyment and knowledge, and some of the most impressive persons I've read about are the old-time Methodist circuit riders. I don't know at this time why the Methodist preachers changed so drastically in their preaching styles, but I am in the process of researching this phenomenon and will be writing more about it or speaking more about it in the future with you. The old-time circuit riders remind me of today's flamboyant Pentecostal preachers. Preachers who, they share a sermon about God's love, God's grace, God's redemptive powers, and who are not afraid to preach about hell and the devil and the coming judgment for all persons saved and lost. Today's preachers act like they're afraid to preach on repentance for fear of losing their position in their church. The majority of sermons today are about love, and usually just love alone, really. Preachers, must preach with a balance from the scriptures to give their prisoners a fair and balanced message would be what I would think, and I believe that's what the Lord taught us, to be balanced and fair and to preach the whole gospel, the complete gospel. Well, while studying about the circuit riders, I was impressed with their ability to endure all types of suffering and still remain focused on their goal. These riders traveled unknown territory in search of anyone that they could preach, or excuse me, anyone they could find to preach the gospel message to. Living out of a saddlebag in those days quite different, naturally, than living out of a suitcase today. Today, when we live out of a suitcase, we're actually staying in a nice, fancy hotel room somewhere with hot and cold running water, electricity, heat, air conditioning, room service for our meals, that type of thing. Not so bad, really, when you think about it. The circuit riders were lucky to have an extra change of clothes and certainly had no shelter to keep them from the elements. And with just a horse and saddlebags to carry all you needed, there certainly wasn't room for a tent or anything of that nature. I mean, they just did the best they could. The sacrifices made by these preachers are really to be commended. They certainly were not doing what they did for the money. I wonder if there are any persons today that would be willing to give so much for so little in return. And that's, I really wonder. I would hope that there are, but the question begs an answer, yes. But I really hope this information that I'm going to pass on to you will be helpful to all to hear it, and it'll help someone to decide how their individual pastor might be doing as to sharing the gospel in a fashion that is pleasing to God, not to man. And I think that's the key to the whole thing, is these circuit riders, they heard the call from the Lord, and they got him a horse, their Bible, throwed a little bit of stuff in saddlebags on the back of their horse, and they took off preaching that the Lamb of God. And that's so much different than today. And I know today that I don't expect anybody to go out and buy a horse and some saddlebags and go run around the country, but still the devotion level, the endurance and the hardships that they suffered is so much different than what we're faced with today in today's society, and certainly in today's churches. I want to read a little bit, some excerpts from the circuit riders and the spread of early Methodism. It's a Wesley conventicle from September 28, 2003, and it was presented by Ed Stevenson. A circuit was usually between 200 and 500 miles around, and the rider was expected to complete the course in 2 to 6 weeks. The pace was always hectic. The circuit rider would go for only a few miles before stopping to set up another meeting. He might preach 2 or 3 times a day. This, of course, meant that meetings could happen on any day of any week, not just Sundays. And while at a stop, the preacher would also check on class meetings and visit as many of the local families as possible, usually sharing a hymn and a prayer. There were relatively few days of rest in the schedule. This ensured that most people could see the Methodist preacher at least, you know, or about once a month, which was, you know, a real good thing back in those days for that time of the way life was. And as a side note there, 200 to 500 miles is a large area to travel, especially when considering it was done on horseback. Preaching 2-3 times a day, coupled with not enough rest, being worn out from riding all day and evenings, and before you had, you know, it had to be quite grueling on the body, you know. So a lot to be commended for that part of it, for that aspect of the ministry. But back to the article, Methodism usually had little impact on the poorest of the poor, whose lack of skills and education put them at the margins of society. Having not grown up as Methodists, the new recruits usually began to attend Methodist meetings out of curiosity about this boiling hot religion, where people would jerk and twitch, stand up shouting, or fall to the ground where they might lay prostrate for hours. Many did this with the express disapproval of their families. After some time, they would get caught up having experiences of their own. They were often accompanied by dreams or the experience of hearing the voice of God convicting them of their guilt and telling them to embark on a new path. Now, I personally would say, as a side note again, that I dare to guess what would happen if this type of activity happened in today's Methodist churches. This activity today is known to exist primarily in Pentecostal and charismatic circles only. Certainly, a far cry in the Methodist Church today as what it was back then. Back to the article here, it says that such was the reach, excuse me, of this system that within a generation of the end of the Revolutionary War, a visit by the Methodist preacher was considered to be a normal and expected part of daily life in America. Thus, it is hardly surprising that Methodism's growth outpaced by a large margin other denominations at the time. Perhaps more importantly, its fundamentally different style forever changed the face of American Protestantism. It stood in sharp contrast to the pattern of the established churches of the colonial period, in which ministers were theologically educated at universities, and the distance between the clergy and the laity was a matter of class as much as education and wealth. Now, once again, I'll add that I'm afraid that today we have fallen back to those practices where education from a school of theology is a mandate to be qualified to preach the gospel. I certainly am glad in my heart that Jesus did not make such demand from the disciples before they were allowed to begin their ministry journeys, for we may never have heard of the gospel had that been the case. And I know many a preacher, young and old, who were called to the ministry who never set foot in a seminary, college of any kind, and were just some God-fearing, fantastic, dyed-in-the-wool men of God. Now, some, there's probably some people out there, and I'm sure there is, I shouldn't say probably, I'm sure there's people out there that going to the college, going to the ministry schooling, the seminary, helped them in so many ways. But I'm of the thought that if God truly calls a man to preach, God will direct his path. Moses begged not to have to do it. God told him that he'd take care of it, and he did. Just so many men of God that never graced the door of a seminary who are just some unbelievably wonderful men of God. Anyway, back to the article here. The subjects were hell and the devil, with a clear eye on the coming day of judgment. This reflected Wesley's own interest in bringing people into a direct experience of the Spirit, after which they were on the road towards Christian perfection. Now, life for the Methodist was a journey. The theology was practical, recognizing that even if one was brought into the church, that it was still possible to falter and return to sinful ways. It emphasized discipline and moral uprightness. It valued work. As such, it fit well with the aspirations of the new settlers, who saw themselves as the creators of a new nation and a new economy based on the industry and initiative of its citizens. It played to their hopes more than their despairs and frustrations. This made Methodism as much of the people as for the people. People took to it eagerly, in part because as a result of hearing about God's plan and purpose, as well as God's judgment, folks could see themselves as a meaningful part of a great mission to build a new world. Now, that's the end of that article, but I want to add a few things here. One of them is hell and the devil. He talked in that article about, you know, the message was about hell and the devil and God's judgment and that type of thing. And I can honestly tell you, I cannot honestly tell you when I heard a sermon about hell or the devil in a Methodist church the last time. It's been years and years and years, and that's sad. If my memory serves me right, it was actually in a Pentecostal that I heard that last sermon like that. I don't understand why. I don't know why. I don't know what's going on with these preachers today. I guess I do know what's going on, but I'm of the belief that, unlike the preachers of the days gone by, especially these circuit riders I was discussing, preachers today are afraid to talk about hell. They're afraid to talk about damnation. They're afraid to talk about sin, and they're afraid to talk about judgment, and they're also afraid to talk about a holy God. Oh, they'll talk about a loving God, they'll talk about all the wonderful aspects, all the beautiful loving sides and aspects of the Lord our God and of Jesus, and the loving move of the Holy Spirit within you to make you a better person and to help you, but they don't tell you anything else. They don't tell you the complete gospel. They're afraid to. And the reason they're afraid because they know that if they do, they're probably going to be fired. It's that simple. They're going to get fired. So instead of standing for God, preachers today, by and large, stand for man. They'll do whatever it takes, however it takes, and whenever it takes, to please their congregation so they continue to have their job. I'm telling you, that's not only sickening, it's blasphemous, it's totally against God's word, it's totally against God's will, and it's totally against anything to do with the Lord. It's all for man, for man, for man. Selfishness, a me, me, me mentality. And every single preacher who preaches for the man instead of for God needs to have his butt kicked out of his church. And that's just the end of it. Period. No ifs, ands, or anything's about it. He needs to be kicked out of the church until he can decide on himself, with himself and by himself, with the Lord's direction, that he can get behind a pulpit and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, him crucified and rose again, his judgment upon those who don't follow him. Period. If he can't follow the Lord, he's got no business preaching to anybody. Period. He can go get a job at Walmart. He can go get a job at Home Depot. He can go get a job working in a gas station. If all he's in there is for a job, he needs to get a job someplace else. I would ask you to look, to read about these old-time preachers, especially these circuit riders. I'm not picking out Methodism. They just happen to be Methodist preachers, these particular ones, these circuit riders were. But they went about the country through snow, rain, hardship, fighting Indians if they had to, whatever it took, robbers, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it takes today, folks. That's why we're in such horrible condition in our churches today. Nobody wants to preach the truth. They just want a job with a good paycheck, good benefits, and good retirement. Look these people up. Learn about them. Read about them. Compare them and their lives and their duties and their faithfulness to today's preachers. I'll talk to you again soon. We'll have more on this at a later date. Thank you. God bless you. The Lord loves you, and so do I.